That's right. Keep on keeping on what we need to do. And the Word of God enables us to do that. We're going to talk about this morning the wonderful treasure that we have in the Word of God. Some of you still have the insert that we put in last week. I have a few more here. If you would like to have one right now, see these two guys right here, right in the front row. Would you do this for me, please? There may not be enough, but if you don't have one, raise your hand real quickly, and they will get one to you. All right? They will get one to you. One over here, one here, just a few. Okay, one back there, one back there. Yes. We've been talking about the Word of God and what a treasure that we have in the Word of God. And what a wonderful thing that it is that we know that what we have in the Bible is what God gave to us. I mentioned, I think it was last Sunday evening, about archaeology and how archaeology testifies very clearly to the authority of the Word of God. It corroborates what the Bible says. For example, near the Dead Sea, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, for many years archaeologists never knew anything about these cities. They were gone. Well, of course they were gone. Well, they've dug around in 1924 and then back in 1965 and 67 and 73, and they found this city. They found this city where there were huge grave sites, thousands of skeletons were there, and apparently a massive fire had destroyed the city. And buried underneath all of this ash, several feet thick, was a very interesting discovery. The houses that were destroyed were burned from the roof down. Think about that for just a moment. The burning of the roof then eventually collapsed and spread inside the building. They could tell that by what they dug up. And what does that match? That sounds interesting. Sounds like the God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. See, archaeology verifies or corroborates what Scripture says. Used to be archaeologists would go to the dirt and dig and see whether the Bible is true. But often now today when they find a dig in a certain area over there in that part of the world, they go to the Bible to see whether or not it's true, their interpretation of what is there. Even unbelieving archaeologists attest to the Word of God as being accurate. We have in our hands the Word of God, not just Old Testament, but New Testament. Some people say, well, we don't even know that Jesus lived. Oh, come out of the woods. What's the matter with you anyhow? Secular historians, Jewish historian Josephus sarcastically refers to Jesus being crucified, and a Roman historian, Tacitus, in 115, speaks about Christ. All through, when people find things, by the way, there was a guy, Pontius Pilate. Oh, there was no such guy as Pontius Pilate. No, they never could find him. The Bible must be wrong. They found an inscription. They found an inscription bearing his name. See, so again and again and again, the Bible is the authority of the Scripture is so strongly proven to us. It's reliable. We looked at our sheets, and if you have it there, I'm not going to take time to allow you to write in, but you can get the message off the web if you want to. The Bible only, sola scriptura, that's what it means. The Bible is inspired. That means it is God-breathed, remember. And it wasn't that inspiration has to do with the writers were really gifted and therefore they were really able to put something together. No, not that. God-breathed. God moved in such a way that the very words that were put down on those parchments and vellum back in those days were exactly what God wanted. God didn't bypass the brains of those that he was using. He used their vocabulary, the culture in which they lived, and everything. So the Bible is God-breathed. It is a divine book, but it's also a human book because he used human people to write those things down. Actually, as we said, it's a divine human book. The gold was God's and the mold was man's. That's why there's some differences in style of writing and so on in various New Testament books, because God used those men and their brains superintended in such a way that what they wrote down is exactly the words that God wanted. Because of that, we say we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. Verbal meaning the words, and plenary mean all of them. Okay? Because of that, the Bible is inerrant. It does not have errors. God's word is truth. Psalm 33:4, the word of the Lord is right. There are no errors, no exceptions, no exceptions. The Bible is authoritative. It's not just one of the authorities, like we have the Bible and then we've got the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants and Pearl of Great Price or Christian Science Key to the Script. No. One authority only, the Word of God, the Bible. The only authority, the final authority. And I've mentioned to you that there are, and I want to say this again because I want you to understand this. I want to emphasize it. It's not just those folks who have extra books or who have some sort of a magisterium in their church that add to the Word of God. It's not just those we need to worry about. We need to be concerned about people who stand in the pulpit and say, "Thus saith the Lord," when the Lord hadn't said, "Thus saith the Lord." We need to be careful about people who get revelations from God, so-called. They're standing there and they're preaching. You can see it. You can see it on Channel 46 and places like that. You can see it. Oh, yes, yes, yes. What is God saying? Yes, yes, there's somebody out here. You've got a hurt knee. And well, how many of you have hurt knees? I've got a bad knee. You know, it doesn't take a prophet to do that. And yet these guys are, they're getting revelations. Nonsense. They may believe they're getting revelations, but they're not getting revelations. And if they say they are, then what we ought to ask them is this. Number one, is the revelation that you are receiving right now, is that equal to the Bible? Is that equal to what Moses said and Peter and Paul and James? If they say, well, yes, it is, then we know what to do with them. Take them out to the curb and send them on their way. Give them a balloon or something and, you know, send them to get an ice cream cone. Don't listen to them. You actually believe that you are as authoritative as the 40 different writers that God used over a period of 1,500 years to give us these 66 books in three different languages on three different continents? You believe that? You're nuts. If they say, oh no, secondly, if they say, oh no, it's not as authoritative as the Bible, then I say, what good is non-authoritative revelation? What good is that? You see, we need to think right when it comes to this issue. We should not add to the Word of God. And any time I say something to you that is not in Scripture, you don't have to believe it. Your conscience is not bound by that. You do not need to feel guilty about not living up to my standard. You need to feel guilty about not living up to God's standard. So we need to be careful that we don't just say, well, those people with extra books. We need to be careful that anybody who says anything in an authoritative way, thus saith the Lord, watch out for him. Watch out for him, unless it's in the book. The Bible is authoritative. And because it is, the next thing that you have on your... I think we stopped there last time. And I want to talk to you this morning about this. The Bible is sufficient. The Bible is sufficient. Now, why should we even have to say that? Here's why. Because there are a lot of people, a lot of Christian people in our people that we know and love, they say, yes, the Bible is God-breathed. Yes, the Bible is inerrant. Yes, the Bible is authoritative. But no, it's not quite sufficient. They don't come out and say that, but that's what their actions show. When you have a problem, a really deep spiritual problem or struggle in your life, what you need to do is to go get some professional help. Get some professional help. What are they saying by that? Now, if they mean by professional help, somebody who has studied the Scriptures and knows how to apply the Scriptures to every area of life, I say, go get some professional help. But that's not usually what they mean. They mean go to a shrink. I'm not against all shrinks. But I'm saying that either the Bible is sufficient or it isn't. Think about it. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say in 1 Timothy chapter 3? It's profitable. Go down on your page a little bit. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So either the Bible is sufficient or it is not sufficient. I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a little while. But I want to say this about the Bible being sufficient for, and on your sheet there, salvation. 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 What does the Bible say about salvation? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Not everybody that hears the gospel believes it. For Isaiah says, who hath believed a report? Verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible is sufficient. Well, if I could just say, you know, I don't know how to witness, and I'm afraid to witness, and all I have is Bible verses. Well, duh. Think about that a minute. All I've got's the Bible. I don't know how to come out of the woods. Listen. If you've got the Bible, you've got what it is that God can use to convert a soul. What does it say there? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. When you give someone the Word, you plant the seed. And you keep planting, and you keep planting, and you keep watering. Well, it didn't work. Well, that's like farmers going out, planting seed, coming out the next day. Yeah, I knew it. Wouldn't work. Give it some time. Fertilize it with prayer. Put water on there. Ask God to bring forth fruit. Our responsibility is to give the word. God's responsibility is to produce faith in the heart of those who hear the word. The Bible is sufficient for salvation. And you don't have to have some special techniques. Well, if I just knew, do you know the Bible? Do you know the plan of salvation? Do you have a gospel tract? If you don't, we've got some. The Bible is sufficient for salvation. Share it with some people. Share it with some people. Well, I don't know what to say. Get some gospel tracts and find out. Just talk to them about the gospel. By the way, we need to be very careful here. I'll just say a brief word about this. A lot of witnessing gets wrapped around, well, do you want to go to heaven? Yes. Do you want to go to hell? No. You believe Jesus? Yeah. Okay, pray. Is that it? Wait a minute. Here's what you got to pray. Pray this prayer and you're in. All right, now wait a minute. If that person does not understand the gospel message, you have done that person a disservice. That little spiritual exercise that you have done is no better than people coming by with a priest standing there, the body of Christ, putting a little wafer in their mouth. They think they're receiving Christ. They're not receiving Christ. You don't receive Christ unless you know that you're a sinner, lost and hell-bound, and you believe that Jesus died and rose again for you, and you put your trust totally and completely in Him. When you believe that message, the Word of God says you are born again by the Spirit of God. But a lot of people get wrapped around the axle of technique. This technique. Do this and say this. And then right at this point, say this. And then say this and this, and they'll get saved. No. It's not our techniques that convert people. It's the Word of God that converts people. The Bible is sufficient for salvation. It just is. And when we give the gospel out, we need to be sure to, you know, give the gospel and not just tell people. And in our day, a lot of folks do not understand the gospel. They have no idea. In the United States, they don't know. I'm not talking about just the Muslim people. I'm talking about some Baptists and some Methodists and Presbyterians and some Mennonites. They don't even know what the gospel is. Oh, they can quote John 3:16. They can do all of that, but their heart understanding of the Word of God is not there. When the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 gave the parable of the soils, He said, "He that heareth the word and understandeth it, it will bear fruit in his life." We need to give the Word of God to people because the Bible is sufficient for salvation. On your sheet, next. The Bible is sufficient for Christian growth. The Bible is sufficient for Christian growth. I alluded to that and spoke just a moment about that, just a little bit. Christian growth. How do I grow in the Lord? I've got a family problem. Okay, let me go to a professional. Well, as I said, if that professional is a Christian who uses the Bible properly in his counseling, go to a professional. That's all right. But the fact of the matter is that many, many people right here in this room can do a lot more good for somebody with a family problem because you know the Bible. But you don't believe in the sufficiency of the Bible. You say, "Yes, I do." I say, "No, you don't." You say, "Yes, I do." I say, "No, you don't." If you did, you would be more confident in helping people with their problems by simply using Scripture rather than just sending them off someplace else. You have the ability as an individual believer to be a channel of God's blessing to other people in their Christian growth problems and in their family problems because you know the Bible. You know where to find things in the Bible. And if you don't know where to find them, you know where to find a book where you can find them. You have a pastor that will help you with that. You have Sunday school teachers that will help you with that. Do you believe in the sufficiency of Scripture? Do you really believe it? "Oh, I just wouldn't know how to handle that situation." We'll handle it with the Bible. Handle it with the Bible. Either the Bible is sufficient or it is not sufficient. It's sufficient for Christian growth. On your sheet there, 1, 2, 3, 4. Doctrine. Doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? We often think of doctrine as just, well, the Trinity and the deity of Christ, and eschatology, and pneumatology, and all those big 12-cylinder words. And that's doctrine, that is. But you know what else is doctrine? Living right. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, he said, "I want you to make sure that they live according to right doctrine." And he names some social sins, if we can call them that, that are unacceptable. Bible doctrine is just not theoretical heavenly stuff. It is stuff here on earth. It is stuff right here. Bible doctrine is Bible teaching. Bible doctrine teaches what is right. There's your word, R-I-G-H-T. It tells us what is right. It tells us what is right. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. It's what? I just don't know what to do. Well, study the Bible and find out. Study the Bible. Find some commands. Find some principles. Find some statements. Find some examples. And in the Word of God, you will find out what is right for you as a believer. It's profitable for doctrine. And then the next one down on the list is reproof. Reproof. It's profitable for reproof. That'll tell you what's not right. Okay? Not right. Those are your two words. It'll tell you what is not right. "Well, I'm just not sure about this." Well, find some examples in Scripture that are parallel to what you're thinking about doing or being or going, and see. God will be faithful to you and show you from the Scripture if something is not right. Because the Bible is profitable not just for showing what is right, doctrine, but for what is showing what is not right, reproof. And the Bible is profitable for correction. Okay, it's not right. Okay, it's not right. Okay, how do I get right? The Bible is sufficient for showing you how to get right. Not just showing you what is right, not just showing you what is not right, but correcting the matter, showing you how to get right. The Bible is sufficient, folks. It really is. And then the last one on your little list there is instruction. Instruction. The Bible is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. That tells you how to stay right. It tells you how to stay right. Well, I just don't seem to understand the Christian life. Well, study the Bible. Be in church when the doors are open. Get some good books out of our library that expound the Scripture. You'll find out how to keep right. You will. The Bible is sufficient. May I say it again, folks? Listen, there are a lot of people, a lot of Christian people, a lot of good, sincere people, a lot of people that love God believe that the Bible is God-breathed. They believe that the Bible is inerrant, without error. They believe that it's authoritative. They believe it's the only authority, but they don't believe that it is sufficient. They don't believe that it is sufficient to minister to unsaved people and draw them to Christ or to help Christian people to grow in the Lord. They don't believe it. Now, if you ask them, do you believe the Bible is sufficient? Yes, I do. If you look at their life, no, I don't. That's what their life says. Do you believe? Do you believe that the Bible is sufficient? Sufficient. Is the law of the Lord perfect, converting the soul? In Psalm there, it's not talking about being born again conversion, but it's talking about changing the life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. How are they going to be? Put in my mind the word of God over and over and over again. Then sometimes there are some situations we're just not quite sure about. And so the last thing on your list there is this. The Bible is sufficient for discernment. Discernment. How do I discern? How can I don't want to just know the difference between good and bad. I want to know, you know, like the paints at Sears, you know, the best and the good and the crummy that'll come off the wall as soon as you put it on there, you know. Not just the good and the bad, but the best. Not just what is really bad, but what is really good. How can I lift myself to a place of Christian excellence in my walk with God? Discernment. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is quick. That's an old English word in our King James Bible that just means alive. It's not a dead book. You say it's dead to me. Well, you're the dead part, not the Bible. Sorry to tell you that. You're the dead part. The Bible is alive, it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you will take the Bible and baptize your mind and heart in it, you will learn what is right, you will learn what is wrong, you will learn how to get right when you're wrong, and you will learn how to stay right, because the Bible is the Word of God, and it is sufficient. It's sufficient for Christian growth. It's sufficient for salvation. Because of that, think about this for just a moment. Our salvation is secure. Think for just a moment. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Now, some Christians struggle with assurance of salvation. They struggle with assurance of salvation. Why do they? Because they're not believing in the sufficiency of Scripture. Either the Bible says what it says or it doesn't say what it says. He says, he that hath the Son hath life. Settled. You know, you've heard the saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Doesn't make any difference whether you believe it. It's God said it, that settles it. Leave the believe out of it, leave it out of there. God said it, that settles it. Yeah, but I don't know whether I felt too bad for my sins. Maybe I need to feel worse for my sins. I hope you felt really bad for your sins. But Judas felt real bad about his too. Think about that. It's not how bad you feel for your sins. It is whether or not you are trusting Jesus as your sin bearer. Either you have seen yourself as a lost, hell-bound sinner, and you have run to Jesus for mercy, or you haven't. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Settled. Bible is sufficient. Either you believe in the sufficiency of Scriptures or you don't. Well, I'm going to worry about my salvation. Go ahead and worry about it. You're just proving you don't believe that the Bible is sufficient. Either God said it or He didn't say it. He did say it. All right. Believe it then. Rest in it. The God of all joy and peace give you hope in believing what the Bible says. Our sanctification is guaranteed. Not just our salvation secure, but our sanctification is guaranteed. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, because the law of the Lord is perfect, changing, converting, transforming the soul. It's because of that we need to study the Bible. We need to be in church when the doors are open. We need to reject the false. We need to think clearly. We need to take time to evaluate the things that are around us. Either you do that or you don't. And churches are full. I'm just afraid that churches are full of people who come to church because they want to feel, whoa, we had a good time of worship today. I hope you did. But you know what? Worship is not about you. It's not whether or not we whipped you up with a special number or the choir sang and gave you goosebumps up your leg. You know, it's not about, that's not what worship is. I get goosebumps when I hear the Star Spangled Banner, but that's not worship. That's just patriotism. See? Worship is adoring God and loving Him, talking to Him, giving Him attention, and by the way, it's singing too. But nowadays, this is our time of worship. No, 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 we sing. Okay, we're not going to worship anymore now. We're going to study the Bible and pray. That's all we're going to do. See, what is that? What is that? That's nonsense. Nonsense. Foolishness. The Bible is sufficient. We need to think Bible. We need to think Bible again and again and again. We need to apply it to our lives. We need to apply it to every situation. And as Christian people, when we do that, we will live balanced Christian lives and we will be able to minister to other people. Do you believe in the sufficiency of this book or do you not? Let's pray together, shall we? Look into your own heart, will you? Don't think about that restaurant you're going to in just 2 minutes. Think about whether or not you believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. Well, of course I do. Then think about whether or not your life shows it. Think about whether or not your life shows it. And then tell God, oh God, help me to show you by the way I live that I believe your word is indeed sufficient. As I try to witness to others, may I use your sufficient, powerful word, not depending on my little techniques, but depending on the word. And as I struggle in my Christian life, oh God, may I show you that I believe your word is sufficient. Pastor, but you don't know my situation. No, I don't, but God does, and He says it's sufficient. God's word sufficient. Profitable, profitable, profitable. Oh Lord, we pray, help us as Christian people to not only say that we believe that the Bible is sufficient, but to live like it. So often we're afraid to witness, afraid to give out the treasure of the Word of God. God, forgive us, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want us to do this morning is just, I want us to sing to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. That will be our closing prayer. I want us to sing it to God. And if you're not a Christian or you're not sure that you're a Christian, your invitation is this. I'll be out in the lobby. Come talk to me. I've talked primarily to Christians. And so I'm asking you, dear believer, to live like you actually believe that the Bible is sufficient. Let's sing together. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.